and makes you want to go to your garden, doesn't it? When you think about it, the aspects of it, having that garden of prayer where you spend time with God. The lady just really had this impulse that she needed to communicate with God, her Creator. So she closed her eyes. And all of a sudden, she veered off the highway, smashed through a white fence and into the side of the car, a house, busted into the living room. Reader's Digest has these what's called outrageous. True story. I suggest don't close your eyes while you're driving. Point is, of course, three times the Bible warns us that when we are in prayer, be alert. Be alert of who? Satan. Every time he talks about Satan being like a roaring lion, going about devouring, says resist the devil and he'll flee. If you look at those passages, you will find that also prayer is mentioned, and it says, be alert, be aware of, watch out for. Evidently, somebody has said hell quivers when people are on their knees praying to God. And maybe Satan really wants to interfere with your prayer life. You ever thought about it? I'm sure he does. And so we need to be very careful in our aspect of when we approach God that we have our eyes open and we're alert and we're aware of our happenings and what's going around us and keeping ourselves focused on what we're doing. We've talked about renewal of your own individual personal life that I believe will take place when you're spending time with God in prayer. The church will not be renewed until the church gets back on its knees, individually, spending time with their Father, with God, praying earnestly for Him to move in their individual life. The Bible says we're to be devoted to prayer. It said, pray without ceasing, making that element the most important part of your individual life is spending time with God. And a lot of people say, I don't have time to pray. If you don't have time to pray, then you don't have time at all. Because you won't find time to pray until you make time to pray. And you have to make it a part of your context, of your relationship with God. Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not lose heart. What did he say? Men ought always to pray and not lose heart. And so when you and I talk about prayer, which we've been talking about, a lot of people say, well, I don't know what to pray about. I don't know what I ought to pray for. And the aspects of that. So this morning, if I may, take some time, I want to share with you what you can and ought to be praying for. In Matthew chapter 6, the disciples saw something significant about Jesus' prayer life. And what they asked is very clear. They simply said, Lord, teach us to pray. This is what they asked. Lord, teach us to pray. There must have been something about their communicating and looking and watching the example of the Lord. They could tell there was a significant difference in what was taking place because these were men of prayer. They prayed three times a day. And there was a custom for them to have that time of prayer. So what was there? Well, this is what Jesus said to them, if you will, in Matthew 6. He said, pray then in this way. Our Father who is in heaven. What does that have anything? What does that mean to you? These men are Galileans. Think about their background. Think about who they are. Do you suppose they had ever approached God by calling Him Father? I doubt it very much. So what's the significance and what is Jesus saying? You got to make prayer personal. And to make it personal, you got to recognize to whom you are praying. He is your Father. And you also got to recognize that He's not just your Father. There's something significant about Him. He is the Creator, and you approach Him by recognizing reverently, hallowed be your name. Now what He said, So when you approach God, you approach Him reverently, discreetly, recognizing Him and who He is, the creator of the universe, the one in whom you move and have your being. We are His offspring. Every breath you take is a gift from God. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Thy kingdom come. If there is ever a day and a time that we need to be praying for the kingdom of God, it is today. I believe the kingdom is the church, the body of Christ. And it's universal. I believe it had its beginning on Pentecost and is the only thing that's going to remain at the end of time. Hebrew tells me one more time God is going to speak. And anything that can be shaken is going to be moved and pass away. Only one thing cannot be shaken. It is the kingdom of God. Well, I want you to know the foundation of the kingdom is being shaken today by unfaithful preaching of the word. There's only one foundation that has been laid, and that foundation is Jesus Christ. We need to be preaching Christ and Him crucified. We don't need a social gospel. We don't need music to get us fired up for Jesus. We need His word. Preach the word, it says. But people don't want the word today. But this word is what makes the church the body of Christ. You should be hungering for it. You should be desiring. As the kingdom, you need to hunger and thirst for the word of God. You should be in it. It should be in you. Jesus said, if my word abides in you, you will bear much fruit. Whatever you ask will be granted to you. It isn't just reading the Bible. It's taking the Bible and applying it, living it, abiding in it, and it abiding in you. A lot of people read the Bible, but the Bible is shut. It's gone. You need to memorize it. You need to learn it. You need to assimilate it. You need to digest it. David said, your word have I hid in my heart, O God. You need to memorize. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, who stands not in the way of the sinner, who sits not in the seat of the scoffer. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and whatever he does will prosper. His leaf will not wither. He will be fruitful. That's what my book says. What does yours say? Amen. We need to focus on God. We need to focus on His word. And we need to be praying for the kingdom. We need to be praying for the kingdom of God today, the church, because it is in trouble. It is in trouble. How many people ought to be around the Lord's table today that are supposedly God's people and are here today? Do you know this is the blood of the covenant that was given for you? And you're admonished in God's word, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together as a matter of some is. That's what it says. We need to pray for the kingdom. We need to pray for God's will. Thy will be done on heaven and on earth. We need to be engulfed in the will of God, seeking the will of God, praying for God's will to be done. Amen? We need to be praying for the will of God. That's what he said. And then doing that, you need to be submissive to the will of God. Amen? Not just praying for God's will to be done in the world, whatever. God's will be done in your life. That you submit to it in the aspects of it. And give us this day our daily bread, right? We need to pray for our daily needs. I want you to know right now, I don't think God's interested in your want-me's. I believe He's really heartfelt and concerned about your need-me's. The Bible says that we can approach God's throne, and we can go there with boldness through Jesus Christ, our great high priest, seeking and knowing that we will find mercy and help in time of need. In time of need. We need to pray for forgiveness. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who have trespassed or sinned against us, whatever. Little boy heard the sermon that morning and he went home and said, Ma, what did you hear today? Well, I heard that we're supposed to forgive those who fill our trash cans with trash as we have filled their trash can with trash. And so, that's basically what he heard. It's forgive us our debtors. Well, the other part of it is trespasses. He heard trash buckets. I thought that's kind of cute. We need to pray for his leading. What does it say? Lead us. Lead us not into temptation. Lead us. We need to be prayed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've all turned our own way. Jesus came to be the shepherd, and we need to follow and be and allow him to lead our lives. We need to let him. So that it says that right there. Okay? So that's what you need to be praying for. Just take the Lord's Prayer. Look at it. Look at the subject matter Jesus said you need to be praying for. And you need to pray for him. You need to pray for him. And then he makes a very clear aspect. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Why in the world do we pray for him? Because he is the glory, the power, and the king, and the God of the universe forever. And only he has the ability, and he wants to answer your prayers. Are you convinced of that? Ask, knock, and seek. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? Huh? A-S-K. Always say a prayer. Anytime. Put prayer as your priority. And the aspects of that, okay? Secondly, we need to be praying for one another. Well, what do you do? How do you pray for one another? Well, look at Colossians again and with me this morning. I don't know, can I put it on the screen? I can. Okay. Well, I will do that then. All right. Let's look at what it says. Colossians 1, 9, and 12. Paul's praying for the church, right? For the body of Christ. All right? What is he praying? He says, and he's praying that they be strengthened with all power. So what should I be praying for you? That you be strengthened with what? All power. God did not give you a spirit of timidity. He gave you a spirit of a sound mind, a love, and a power. God is able to do far more abundantly beyond what we dream or ask through the power that is at work in us. We need to be praying for God to be able to unleash that power in the individual lives of our brothers and sisters in Christ. We can't do anything without him. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Therefore, if we're going to be the church and we're going to do and accomplish his word, what happened? I must have pushed the wrong button. I'll get back there. For this reason, okay? So just be patient with me. We have not ceased to pray for you, to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will. Isn't that what Jesus said? Thy will be done? Huh? In all spiritual wisdom and understanding. There's one thing about spiritual wisdom and understanding. Where does wisdom come from? Comes from God, a fear of God, a respect from God. If you lack wisdom, ask for it and he'll give it to you. Unmeasured, without measurement. God pours out his wisdom upon his people. Do we need it? So I ought to be praying for you that you be filled with his knowledge of his will, with spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. To please him in all respects, bearing fruit, and every good work, and increasing the knowledge of God. Amen? What? Strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for the obtaining all steadfastness, patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be shared in the inheritance of the saints. Strengthened with power, glorious might, the obtaining of being steadfast. I will be praying for you that you will remain steadfast, you will remain patient, and that you will be filled with that joy unspeakable that's full of glory. Your inheritance. But God has promised for you. Isn't that what he said? Joyously giving thanks who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saint in life. Wow. What an inheritance. You know? That God has promised us. So just take Colossians 1, verses 9, and look at it. And start praying for one another. Paul prayed for the church that would occur, did he not? Huh? Paul was a man of prayer. He must have spent hours and hours praying for the church, you know that? He realized that it was in prayer that he could indeed empower the church. In the book of Ephesians, he first chapter, Paul prayed these words in verses, if you will, 18 and 19. He said, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, what is the surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe. They are in accordance with the working of the strength of His might. Look, that you be enlightened, that you have your eyes open, that you'll be able to see His wisdom, you'll see His will, you'll see His purpose, and that you will indeed see the hope that you have in Christ. That hope becomes the anchor to your life and my life of His calling us out of the world, out of the kingdom of darkness, into the kingdom of His Son. That's what He called us to. And that aspect of inheritance, Esau and Jacob. Esau sold his right to an inheritance for a bowl of soup. That's what he did. A lot of God's people are doing the same thing today. How precious is your soul? What shall profit a man if he gains the whole world and he loses his soul? You have an inheritance that's incorruptible. It's reserved for you. It's eternal. It's waiting for you. Amen? Don't lose it. Don't lose it. We need to be praying for one another. There's a list. Understand God's will. Gain spiritual wisdom. That we be pleasing and honorable to God. That we be bearing fruit. That we would grow in the grace and the knowledge of God. That we be filled with God's strength. That we be filled with Christ's joy. That we be a thankful people. Oh yes, God said in everything give thanks, for this is His will. And knowing the hope of His calling, the riches of our inheritance, I pray for you. I ask you to pray for me. Because, brother, if we're not a people of prayer, nothing's going to happen. We're just treading water. Because it is God's power that we need to unleash and allow to be and accomplish His will and purpose in each and every one of our lives. Just think what would happen if you seriously, let's see, you're going to celebrate your anniversary. Dave and Kim are celebrating their anniversary. Dan and Sue are celebrating their anniversary. I could have you stand, look at one another, and you could be doing and ask you to do a reveal. How important has God been in your marriage? Do you pray for one another? How can you pray for your mate and not love the one whom you're praying for? When's the last time you really humbled yourself before God and prayed for your husband or your wife? Seriously. Because I guarantee you, more healing would be done on our knees than it will be done anywhere else in the world today. You can go to marriage counselors, you can do whatever you want to. But I believe that if you earnestly, seriously want God's will for your marriage, you'll be spending time on your knees praying for your mate and your children and the aspects of it. We need to pray for those that are in authority today. You think we're in a mess right now? You think our nation needs prayer? You think our president needs prayer? Our vice president, the House, the Senate? You think those that are running the state of Michigan? You think there's anyone in there that out there is in a point of authority that has a say over your individual life that we ought not to be praying for them? Seriously? The Bible says in 1 Timothy 2:1-4, first of all, I urge you, I beg you, that entreaties and prayers and petitions and thanksgiving be made on behalf of all men. What did he say? I'm begging you, I'm pleading with you, that you pray with prayers of petitions and thanksgiving for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority, in order that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life, in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Wow. So what ought you to be praying for in relationship to those who are in authority today? I believe there's no authority that is not ordained of God. I believe that's said. I believe that God says in Romans 13, those who are in the police force or the armed, that element are there for a purpose, and that's to protect you against the evil that is in the world today, and that they do not bear the sword in vain. That's capital punishment back then, whether you know that or not. And so God placed them, and they're there for a reason. He says that, you know, how many of you are driving down the road and you look at your speedometer and you're going 85 and a 65, and how many of you, first thing you do is look up in your mirror. Or you look, I mean, what do you think of? Well, if you're not breaking the law, you have nothing to fear. That's what Romans 13 says. But if you break the law and go against the law, then there are those out there who will respond to you and make sure that you answer to the fact that you broke the law. That's what they're ordained to do. So what should we pray for? I pray for these men to accept the fact that they have a higher authority than themselves. And they're going to answer to God for what they do and what they have done and are doing in that role that God has put them in. They will answer to God. They will answer to God. I pray that they will realize that they are inadequate within themselves to rule people. That they need God's wisdom, they need God's help to make sure they make the right decision as they're placed in a role where they are overseeing thousands, millions of people's lives are under their jurisdiction, the government authority, right? So we ought to be praying for them to realize they need God's help. Because some of the decisions they are making today, I believe you would say, sort of lack a lot of common sense. You know? And then I remember somebody saying, I don't remember exactly who it was, they said that common sense isn't too common today. And the reason being, again, is that God, I believe, is a point of wisdom. We need to pray that they never violate God's divine will and purpose for them and why they placed him and why he gave them that. We need to realize and we must pray that they will resist the humanism that is in the world. They're not God. They represent him, and they should represent him well, according to his will. We need to pray that God will give them wisdom, right? And pray for that. We need to realize they need to be good examples. How much of our moral decay is a result of presidents who spend and lived immoral lives. The Bible says a little leaven leavens a whole lump, doesn't it? And when you got men and people in the higher ranks of our authority over us as a nation, and they're living immoral lives and it's put on TV and it's broadcast all over the place, don't tell me that does not degrade and decay the moral values of a nation. And I believe they've had a great impact on what's going on in our land. And I believe we need to pray for God to raise up men and women who are moral, who have fear of him, who have respect for his word, who will take it responsibility and they'll rule well over God's people. We are his. It's God's creation. It's not theirs. And we need to pray for them. We need to have them honor the position they have and uphold it. And uphold it. I pray for President Trump. I pray for Vice President Pence. I pray for the House. I pray for men in particular that I believe are God-fearing men and women who I believe God could use. We need to pray for them. We need to pray. Why? Why? So that we can live a quiet life in all godliness and dignity. And why would they persecute Christians who basically are the best citizen, honorable, upright, they pay their taxes, they live good life, they bother no one. Why would they want to do away with the Christian faith? Because darkness hates the light. That's why. Don't forget that. You are the light of the world. You can't hide your light under a bushel. In fact, we're to put our light up on top of a mountain so that everybody can see it, right? And so the light that shines the brightly will probably end up, to some degree, being persecuted. Jesus said, they persecute me. Don't be surprised that they will do the same for you. Right? So don't let them snuff out your light. Be the God-fearing man or woman that you know God wants you to be. So we need to pray, right? We need to be devoted to it, right? And right now we need to be a people that are praying for what's going on in our government. In our world, in the political realm, all over the world today. We do. We need to pray for Iran. We need to pray for Afghanistan and Iraq and all the things that are taking place. We need to pray for those who are in authority there that somehow God can raise up godly people to make a difference. Okay? So why don't we pray for those things? You say, I don't have time. While the world's going to hell around us, we don't have time to pray for it? I remember a day when my mom and I, my dad and us, would go north for a week or 2 weeks, and we never locked the door. I know that we live in a day now that if you don't lock your car and don't lock your house, the insurance companies won't pay. They pay for breaking and entering. They don't pray for people being able to walk through your door, right? I mean, come on, people. This world needs you and me. It needs the church. It needs the body of Christ. It needs us to have His heart and His compassion and His love. And we need to be praying not only for one another. We need to be praying for the world and for those in authority. We got to become a people that are devoted to prayer. And nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to change. Because if you don't pray, you have not because you don't ask. Isn't that what He said? That's what He said. So what do you pray for? Well, I'll tell you what I pray for individually every day. And my Ellen will tell you that. I pray for wisdom. James says if you lack wisdom, anybody here not lack wisdom in your house, in your life, in your situation, that you don't need wisdom? Wisdom comes from God, people. It's not something you originate or concoct up or invent. It's a God-given gift. And God is open, waiting for you to pray and ask for wisdom, and He'll pour it out into your life. I pray for that. In Luke 11:13, it says that if you and I, we need to be praying for the Holy Spirit to be alive and active in the lives of God's people today. If a man, a boy, asked his father for a loaf of bread, would he give him a snake? Now, how much more then will God give His people the Spirit if they will ask? When's the last time you seriously got on your knees and prayed to be filled with the Spirit of the living God, to empower you, to strengthen you, to bear fruit in your life, to help you to become Jesus-like? Because you won't become like Him without Him. Your transformation depends on the work of the Holy Spirit transforming you. When's the last time you prayed for a brother or a sister you saw being caught up in a sin? Isn't that interesting? 1 John chapter 5, verse 16 says, if anyone sees a brother committing a sin, ask of God, and God will give them life. Have you read that verse? I spend more time praying for people that I know are going back or struggling with or having problems resisting sin in their life. I've had that. You've had that. There's none of us without sin. Right? We need to be praying for those people that we see. Asking God to do what? Heal them. Deliver them. Give them victory over it. You know? Come on. That's what it says. So don't tell me you don't have something to pray for. Also, it says that we need to pray for those who persecute us. Right? Let's pray for them. Pray for them. It also prays and says, when we have no problem with this one, it says, pray for the sick, that they might be healed, right? But He says it's the prayer of faith that heals. He says, the effectual prayer of a righteous man avails much. We need righteous people today. Who is righteous? Righteousness are people who are walking in obedience to the Word of God. They're walking in obedience to the will of God. God will hear their prayers. And God can and will and can heal the sick, can He? Yes. Lastly, if you will, we need to pray for boldness today. The Bible says in Ephesians, pray for all the saints. Pray that we might know how to say or to answer men. Pray that we might be filled with boldness. When Peter was in prison, and the church was in a prayer meeting, they prayed for what? They prayed for boldness, people. And the Bible says that the place they were praying was shaken with an earthquake and whatever. And they went forth preaching the Word of God with boldness. We need some more boldness in the church today. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe it is the power of God to salvation. And I know you do too. So let's look at all the things we've shared here today. And let's just take away the excuse, if you will. Well, I don't know what to pray for. Hopefully, I've helped you. Maybe even this morning, I convicted you through the Holy Spirit and God's Word. Because that's all I've done today, is reveal the Word of God to you. And I'm confident, I'm sure as I am standing here in front of you today, that if the church doesn't get on its knees and humble itself before God and start praying, this world, things will not change that's going on in our world today. Just won't. We need to pray for God to lift up faithful men of God who will preach the Word today. I'm serious. Because I'm telling you, we're preaching everything but the Word. But it said, preach the Word, be in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Preach the Word. God bless you. I thank you for your prayers. I know you prayed. My daughter, Sherry, down there in Georgia, thrives and gets through every day because she knows you're praying for her. And I can stand up here and spend a lot of time showing you how God has specifically, clearly answered every prayer you've prayed on her behalf. She has sold her house. Yeah, sold it quicker than she wanted to. But we were praying what? We prayed that God would sell it quickly. So, he heard your prayers. I'm serious. And she's thankful now. She went through a period of, wow, what do I do now, you know? But now she sees God guiding and directing her path. I've convinced my daughter and everyone I can and my grandchildren, I tried my best to tell them that Proverbs 3 is the only formula. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't try to figure out life. But acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He will guide your path. Amen and amen. That's it. As far as I'm concerned, that's the formula. That's it. He who would like to see good days and great lives and so on and so forth, I believe the Word of God gives the answer to that too, doesn't it? Yeah, it does. God bless you. Pray for me. Pray for your elders. Pray for your deacons. Pray for one another. Pray for the congregation here that we'll be doing and accomplishing the will of God. What is the will of God? I believe His will is that people be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth and have the hope that I got and you have. I believe that's God's will. Amen. This afternoon, Chandler is having an open house over in Ionia. And pray for this family. Pray for Todd and Chandler. They're new Christians in the Lord. You know that, and you know how Satan can try to do everything he can. He always attacks when we're the weakest, doesn't he? I pray for this family to have a safe trip. I pray everyone that goes there, nothing will happen to diminish the joy of his graduation. They'll all go home safely. Isn't that something? Pray for that. And if you have an opportunity, it starts at 2, goes to 6 this afternoon. You go over on 66 heading north, there will be a sign there that says high school. So you turn to, and there's a trailer park right across from the high school. And the open house will be in the community room inside that trailer park, right? What is it? It's what? Oh, I thought it was supposed to be. Okay. But anyway, look where all the cars are. Huh? Okay. Thank you. Okay. I know this. Diane, Mike had a cake made. They put a cow on it. Has a big udder on it. It's an utterly congratulations or something like that. Pretty original if you ask me. I think they need to be prayed for. All right. God bless you. Let's stand together. And we'll have a closing prayer. Then we'll sing our closing hymn if we can.